Well, we're tracking Santa. Right now, he's over San Diego. So those of you listening to us on Kogo, just run outside, take a little peek, see if he's up there. He's supposed to be somewhere around there. Hey, we are down to 23 sponsorships to go now for Children's International. Now, the blue button is off the website, but you will see right down toward the bottom of the homepage a little listing that Lex has that says less than 25 to go. You can click that link, open up the page, click the Children International link. It'll take you straight there. If you can afford just pennies a day, a one-year commitment, you can sponsor a child for Children International. We're down to 23 to go, 2 days left in the campaign. We could probably do this tonight, this Christmas Eve into Christmas morning, if you want to do that. And that would be fantastic. Now, 2 hours of miracle hotlines for you. Listen to this email I got in from Johnny from Spartanburg, South Carolina. So, George, when I was about 8 years old, I ended up waking up early Christmas morning, early enough that it was still dark outside. I got up and went toward the living room where we had the Christmas tree in front of a closed-off fireplace. To the right of the tree, I saw someone standing there. Now, I could see what looked like a Santa hat, jacket, and pants, but I could not see a face, hands, or feet. I was surprised and panicked. I ran down the hall into my parents' room, jumped into their bed. Both my mom and dad were in the bed. And in case anyone is wondering, the only people that lived in the house were my mom, dad, and younger brother. And the figure next to the tree had to be about 6 feet tall, judging by the tree, which was about 7 feet tall. I hope everyone enjoys this story and has a Merry Christmas. Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Johnny. And welcome back now. 2 hours of special miracle moment open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And getting us started, we go to Mark in Texas. First time caller, you're up with us. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I had to take you off speakerphone. Appreciate you.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Norrie, I am glad to be on here. It's first time, and I really intrigued by all the things you were talking about earlier and wanted to stay on track according to your person that asked me to talk about some of my personal experiences. I wanted to link the personal experience with my recent kind of uncovering of some of the things that y'all were talking about there as I'm just reading on my own. I don't go to any churches or anything. I've been trying to just read on my own about what mm-hmm. Christ was saying. And boy, that has been one of the biggest things, despite some of my disabilities, some of the challenges I've had. A major car wreck when I was a young kid. So I have just recently learned of that some sort of aspect of answers that I can get from, I guess, Christ. It seems to be talking about a will and testament somewhere in the Hebrew scripture, in Hebrews chapter 9, which is in the New Testament. And boy, that was the one thing that has really, I guess, just comforted me. I don't know if that's a miracle or what helped me know that I can always go back there and maybe ask, you know, get my answers.
Well, if it works for you, Mark, it is a miracle. I mean, what happened to you? Why did it take you so long to get there?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I think maybe didn't search enough or hadn't gotten there yet. Who knows? I don't know.
But you finally got there.
It's hard to question. I think it's kind of, I think I'm learning that I didn't think I really did much. I think I got the help from some of that I was reading and somehow whatever he was saying, it kind of seems to help. That seems to be my miracle kind of that I don't have to struggle at all, do it all myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wonder what other people might think. You know, I'd really like to help that other gentleman, you know, maybe, you know, talk about that type of stuff more. Cause boy, that was really something interesting. I've only listened to you for about a year or so, Alex Jones and you guys for about a year, year and a half. And boy, it's really been insightful.
Keep listening, Mark. We've got some more things coming up for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Got a friend of mine who called me today. Every December, this person gets into a major car accident where her car gets totaled. Every December. And so I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at the calendar and I'm going, she's going to make it this year. Sure enough, I get a phone call today. She got into a major car accident. She had two kids in her car. She flipped it. It went down an embankment. Fire department people out in that area came down. These fire department guys came and got her. And the kids are okay. She's okay. Every December, she gets into a car accident. It's uncanny. I guess the miracle is that they're all alive and well. West of the Rockies, Taylor in Eagle, Colorado, you're up with us. Hey, Taylor, welcome to the show.
And it is a blessing and a miracle to be here. Thank you for inviting me. My reason for the call is an actual miracle that's taking place that hasn't already happened. Eagle, United States, in Colorado, is mm-hmm. one of the... Hello?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Eagle is obviously an eye for the entire world to see and look at. And here we can be an example because it's such a small town, such a palette to show how, and this is also referring back to Miriam Delicato's coast, where certain genetic lines are supposed to activate the peace on the planet. And as it begins,
when does it begin, though? That's the question. When does it begin? Because I still see this as a very warring planet. Very warring indeed, Taylor. Let's go to Victoria, British Columbia. Kevin on the international line. Hey, Kevin, go ahead.
How's it going tonight, George?
All well, all well.
What miracles would you like to hear about yourself?
About myself?
Yeah, are you hoping for a miracle?
I'm always, every day I wake up is a miracle, Kevin.
Have you had some spirit enter you lately, or?
No.
Would you like one to come by?
No.
No? Well, are you afraid?
Go ahead. What's your story?
Well, recently, about a few months back, I had the opportunity to attend to an elderly lady, and she said, she knew my name by the K, whatever, and she knew instantly, you're some special person, I guess. And she said, well, do you have power? She looked at my hands and says, oh, yeah, you've got the healing power. So mm-hmm. she said, well, put your hand on my right shoulder blade, because she was like a cripple. And I put my hand up to the sun, and energy entered my hand and into her right shoulder blade, and yada, yada, yada. She's walking today as a fit person. And because of that gift, she also imparted me a book of knowledge of numerology.
Really? Okay.
Like
Glynis McCants. We've got a numbers lady who comes on all the time.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's exactly what she said. Well, you know, I was willing to help her, so she said I'd be willing to help you. And she gave me this manual on numerology, and I've been using it for 7 years now, and I've touched a lot of lives and fixed a lot of people and spread a lot of, I don't know what it is, magic energy all around the world.
How did this healing power come to you, Kevin?
Oh, boy, this is a big one. Well, I'll call it a gray cloud came into my bedroom in Edmonton about 6 years ago, and I just stood up in bed, and I was hot, and I was sweating, and I don't know what was going on, and I just looked up into the straight up, and it was just like a gray cloud that was just over me, and I was sitting up in bed and reacting to it, but not hearing anything, and just, you know, it was entering my head, and I knew exactly what was going on, but nothing was said. It was just understood, and then the next thing I thought to myself is, oh God, these guys got my phone number. They can call me up anytime, like entities. So that's 7 years ago, it's working. I can grant a lot of wishes.
That's the important thing. Kevin, thanks for the call. And when you asked me if I wanted a spirit to enter me, I think every day if people are just good to other people, that's going to happen naturally, don't you? Let's go out to California, Shingletown. Roger, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Rog, good morning.
Hey, good morning, George.
How are Yeah.
Actually, I think it's evening here. I'm not sure, but yeah, I just wanted to share with you. I dropped the radio in the milk bucket tonight. I'm not kidding. I really did. I was out there milking the goats, and you know, I just got my daughter just opened her presents and everything, and I went back out there to do my late milking, and I had the radio sitting up on the side, and a kid jumped on me. One of the little goats jumped on me, and I hit the radio, and it fell in the milk bucket. So.
And is it kapushed?
It won't work.
That's it for that. We're gonna have to have you call Bob Crane.
Well, the reason I'm calling is I wanted to share with you a miracle one of the reasons I'm here. I've had a few close calls, but this was the closest one, I think. When I was younger, I lived in Alaska for many years, and I used to fly out to the villages because I worked with Indian Health Services and worked as a clinician in a village. And I was weathered into this one village for about a week and a half, and it was Alaskan weather, and it finally lifted enough for a plane to get into the village, and I hopped on that plane to get back to Nome, and we were flying. And it was pretty clear when we were flying back, and I knew the pilot, and he and I talked about going fishing that weekend, and we finally got close to Nome, and he said, "You want to go up to Shaktulik with me?" And I go, "No, I got to get back because I had to feed my sled dogs." And so I got off the airplane, and an 8-year-old kid got on, and this actually happened, George. I haven't talked about it in a while, so I didn't expect to get a little emotional. But it's only you I'm talking to, right?
Okay. Just me.
So what ended up happening was...
And about a million others.
Yeah, I guess. But for some reason, when I talk to you, it doesn't feel like that. But okay, so I was on the off the plane, and I went back to my office, which was right there on Front Street, because I worked for one of the Native corporations, and I heard sirens. And I heard these sirens, which you never hear in Nome except for during the Iditarod and stuff. And I went down to the main street to see what was going on, and the medevac and everybody was going towards Nook, which is south of Nome. And that same airplane had crashed into an airplane tower and killed both those people.
Oh, my God.
And I had just got off that airplane, and I was one of the escorting people of the body from the hospital to the airplane that took him back to San Diego, where he was
Roger,
from.
And let me ask you this: I mean, did you search your life over the years to try to decide, to try to determine why not you?
George, I ask myself that, you know, often, you know, and that's part, I guess it's part of my own personal PTSD stuff, you know, but, you know, the main thing is all you have is now. The only thing, you know, now is all you have, and you just have to live with that. I mean, the future we don't have, the past is already gone, and you just have to understand that the only thing you have is right now.
And you know, Raj, the past is going by pretty darn quickly, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been many years I've been listening to you, and you know, it's about the now, George. It's not about the future or about the past. It's about what's going on right now. All you have is right now.
Yeah.
And if anything, you know, that particular close call and the one I shared with you before about the gunshot, I remember that one. And, you know, those were the two times that I came really close to death. And they've both, you know, helped me come to the philosophy that it's now is it.
Okay, now you go and get yourself a brand new radio come Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to be going into town next week, so I probably will. But I won't be able to listen to you while I'm milking. I have radios in the house.
All right, take care. Look. Just go to ccradio.com. Seriously, Bob Crane has some incredible radios, small ones that you can put a little bit away from the milk bucket, and you won't have to worry about that happening again. Let's go to Fred in Flint, Michigan. Fred, go ahead. You're up with us.
Hey, George. Merry Christmas.
You too, Fred.
Say, you know, you've heard the expression insurance provider. I see you as a miracle provider.
Yeah.
And I want to reflect on two examples. John Taylor Gatto, magnificent, magnanimous, award-winning
educator. He's great.
Yeah, you got to bring him on again, George. I'd love to hear him. I'm sure the Coast audience would too. Then there's Gabriel Cousins, MD, who, if I recall correctly, didn't he prove that he could reverse
diabetes
within, what, 90 days? And he wrote a book all about it too,
yep,
didn't he?
Absolutely. And he's a staunch believer in what he calls raw foods. And he gets the glucose levels down for people. I mean, he has an incredible, uncanny ability to do that. You know, and all our guests, I think, have brought incredible insight to this vast audience all the time. Let's take this quick break. Boy, these open lines are going by quicker than I even thought. That's a miracle all by itself. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. With Miracle Open Lines tonight, and of course, another live Christmas Day night program for you on Friday. I'd like to read something for you and also remind you that as you celebrate the holidays with the people you care about, or maybe you're just by yourself and you have us here at Coast to Coast, just remember our troops and those men and women who are in the armed forces, those in Afghanistan, Iraq, South Korea, and all over this globe, those stationed at bases in the United States, and those who have served as well. And every Christmas, a tradition as it is broadcasting live for you, it's to read this. 'Twas the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give and to see just who in this home did live. I looked all about. A strange sight I did see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stocking by mantle, just boots filled with sand on the wall hung with pictures of far distant lands, with medals and badges, awards of all kinds. A sober thought came through my mind, for this house was different. It was dark and dreary. I found the home of a Marine. Once I could see clearly. The Marine lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in his one-bedroom home. The face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not how I pictured a United States Marine. Was this the hero of whom I just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? I realized the families that I saw this night owed their lives to these Marines who were willing to fight. Soon around the world, the children would play and grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. They all enjoyed freedom each month of the year because of the Marines, like the one lying here. I couldn't help wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in a land far from home. The very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees, and I started to cry. The Marine awakened, and I heard a rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. And the Marine rolled over and drifted to sleep. I couldn't control it. I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, and we both shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the Marine rolled over with a voice, soft and pure, whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All is secure. One look at my watch," and I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend, and to all, a good night. I'm getting many fast blasts, those of you wanting to know about Lionel Fanthrope's 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and also the traditional A Letter from Michael that we play. Lionel Fanthrope's 'Twas the Night Before Christmas will be played at the end of this program tonight. And A Letter from Michael will be played at the end of the Christmas Day night program tomorrow. So just so you know that. And let's go back to the Miracle Moment open lines. We go to Paul in the Ozarks, and that's in Missouri, east of the Rockies. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Good morning, George. How are you doing?
Good. Merry Christmas. You too.
Please bear with me. I'm getting over the flu, and I'm a little nervous.
Ah, at least you got it. You're not one of the victims, right?
No, I'm not one of the victims. George, I don't have a miracle story to share with you tonight. However, with the help of the wonderful Coast to Coast audience, we need a Christmas miracle. My nephew's wife was in an accident 2 days ago in Mexico. She was thrown from the vehicle and suffered a major head injury, and she's in a coma right now. Both of them are very young. They're wonderful people. They have an 18-month-old daughter. I know how wonderful the Coast to Coast audience is, and I know that when the Coast to Coast audience puts their heart and soul into something, when they put their heart and soul into something, they it tends to happen. And God willing, I can call y'all back tomorrow with a Christmas miracle. Her name is Lorena. She's down close to Monterey, Mexico. She's in a coma. And if y'all can just take 15 seconds tonight to ask God to please wake her up for Christmas, that's the miracle that we need.
Well, you keep in touch with us, Paul. You let us know what happens.
Yes, sir, I will. And please, just 15 seconds. And thank you, George, for giving me the opportunity to put that out. Thank you, okay. And Merry Christmas.
All right, you too, Paul. She'll be on the prayers list as well. Don't forget, on Fridays, just take a few seconds out of your busy schedule and just think about these people who are on this list. And what is this prayer list? What is this list? People just email in requests, people they care about, maybe even themselves. Just your name and the reason why. That's all you need. Let's go next to Bakersfield, California. Jonathan, first-time caller. Merry Christmas, Jonathan.
Brother Jonathan here. How you doing, Brother George?
Okay, Jonathan, I'm
praise
well.
God. Oh, boy, I really love your show. Listen, I got a threefold miracle, so I'll try to make it brief.
You got it. Go ahead.
In 1981, ironically, 9/11/1981, I was on the USS Kitty Hawk launching as a plane captain in training an F-14 Tomcat when an A-7's exhaust turned on me and knocked me into the nose landing gear door while the intake was on.
Oh.
This F-14 Tomcat. I even caught on fire a little bit, and I call on the name of Holy Jesus. And Brother Foster from VF-51, I was in VF-111 Sundowners. That was ironically portrayed in Top Gun.
Yeah.
He pulled me out, and I'm alive today. I came to our Lord Jesus Christ by repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as God's Spirit gave the utterance, is according to Acts 2:38, by the power of God who was in Christ even 2,000 years ago, reconciled the world unto himself. And here's the third part of the miracle. Believe it or not, I don't know if it was a UFO, but I saw this Western star hanging, and it just looked beautiful, and all of a sudden it started to snake down. I said, what am I looking at, God? And he said, son, if you ever prayed, you better do it now. And I prayed Jesus' name, and all of a sudden, I guess what you would call a mini black hole or a wormhole opened up right over our house in the sky, and I guess those little aliens or whatever they were got a quick exit by the mercy of God, Father Jesus himself. So I want to tell you, I don't limit our Creator. You know, when you're a painter, you can't help but want to do more. And I know God created the heavens and the earth and all that's in the heavens, and that's all the universes and the dimensions as well. So I just want to share this with you. Please remember Acts 2:38 and Acts 4:12 of the apostles, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among whereby we must be saved. And plead God's blood and spirit and keep your head anointed with oil in Jesus' name that evil will pass over you. You're a magnificent family on the radio, and you're an inspiration to us all.
Well, there's your miracle, Jonathan. That is miraculous. By the way, there was some video of that spiral over Norway, and I don't know if this was doctored video or not, but it had a black hole in the middle after that blue beam shot through, and it looked like something opened up to another portal. Absolutely incredible. Bizarre. Let's go to Portland, Oregon. Kenneth, welcome to the show. You're up with us.
Oh, hey, George.
Hey, Kenneth.
I've been listening to your show for quite some time now, and I just wanted to call in and wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. You all set for Christmas? You ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
No holding back now. It's here.
Oh, no, not at all.
What are you doing with family? To... Family, friends, what are you doing?
Oh, well, right now I'm just getting ready for bed. Just wanted to give you a call.
That's practical. Okay, well, thanks for thinking of us.
Thank you.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice indeed. Jill in Buffalo, New York. Hey, Jill, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, George. Merry Christmas.
You too.
I was listening, and I wasn't going to call, but I heard a few people calling, and I thought I had sort of an inspiring story. Last year, January 8th, I was feeling pain, and I went into the hospital, and I had acute pancreatitis, and by the end of the day, I had fallen into a coma, and they told my family that I was going to die, get everybody together to say goodbye to me. Oh. Nobody would operate. They said that it was too critical, no chance. Well, I guess one doctor kept trying and trying and trying. He called all the major hospitals in the city. Nobody, no doctors to do it. And then I had last rites. So basically, you know, that was it. Well, one surgeon got out of bed. He came, did my surgery. They told him, he told my family there was a 3 to 5% chance of me living with the surgery and no percent chance without it. So he did the surgery. I had a few more after that. And I was in the coma for 4 months.
Oh, my.
And I'm 36. And
you're still a baby.
And, you know, it was just nobody thought that I was going to live. But I did wake up. And, you know, it's really funny because it's kind of neat because, you know, you think of, like, Jesus and Mary and Joseph in the you know, nobody would take them to the inn. And it's like the same thing with the doctors. It's like nobody would help me, you know, except for this man, this good doctor. But another thing, too, is when I was right before I came out of my coma, I was having a lot of hallucinations. And I thought I was in a basement, and it was a doctor's house, and I had been to the hospital too long, so they put me in this, and it was very, very dark. And that's when I remember meeting my surgeon. And he's like, "You don't know me, but I'm your surgeon, and everything's going to be okay." And it was like I came out of the darkness into the light. It was just such a moment. And it's like, you know, there's just everyday miracles. I was on a feeding tube for the longest time, and for 4 months, I couldn't even drink water because I had a tracheotomy, and I had been on life support. I was in ICU for like 3.5 months, and that first glass of water, George, it was like the most beautiful, incredible experience. And then also the experience of speaking to my father for the first time, because they had the trach, I couldn't talk, and to speak, it was like a child speaking for their first time. It's just beautiful. There's miracles, and, you know, my family stood by me. There are people praying for me that I didn't even know about because the priest who gave me last rites. So, you know, there's hope out there.
And how are you feeling now, Jill?
I still have a nurse coming every day, but I don't complain. I am so grateful to be alive. You know, my boyfriend, my parents stood by me, and
that's great.
We had not a real good relationship. I had run away when I was 15, and since this happened, everybody knows that everybody loves each other now. It's clear. So it's actually a gift, best gift I'd ever been given, really. Turned into a...
Let me ask you something, too. My friend just had a tracheotomy. He fell 4 weeks ago, and he's somewhat paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
I say somewhat because we're hoping he's going to start moving pretty soon. But they gave him a trach. When does your voice come back? After how long?
Well, usually what they do is they give you a smaller one and then a smaller one. And then sometimes they put one in and you press a button and then you can talk.
Okay.
But with me, which was like another miracle, I had the biggest trach you could. They took it out. They tried to put another one in, and I was bleeding, and the doctor said, just take it off. He goes, I want to see. He goes, put a Band-Aid on it. And he said, say your name. He was like a drill sergeant. Where are you from? What hospital are you in? And it's like this little squeak came out, and within a day I was talking. And all the, it was so strange. A lot of the hospital employees came in to see me, even when I was on different floors, because they thought I had died. They didn't believe I survived.
Yeah, that is amazing. And you sound great right now.
Thank you. And a lot of people were praying St. Michael for me. And something happened. And I pray that whatever's out there, I pray the universe, maybe God or whatever's out there wants me to do something, whatever it is, I'm open for it.
Well, and it does, it makes you appreciate every day too, doesn't it?
Yes. And George, thank you for giving me the chance to share that. There really is hope. There's hope out there.
Sure is. Jill, have a great Christmas.
Every day. Merry Christmas, George. Thank you.
You too. Absolutely. Can't believe, by the way, I'm coming up on 7 years full-time in January. With this unbelievable network, 7 years with Coast to Coast, 9 years associated with the program because I filled in for 2 years part-time. And, man, when you look at the clock, it is unbelievable. 7 years negotiating with the network now. We're going to work on trying to extend it another 5 more years to take it out to 2017 now. And I'm just going to keep going until I stop. My friend Casey Kasem told me that. He says, as long as you stay healthy and your voice sounds strong, just keep going. And I think I will do that. Let's, once we get past 2012, right? South Carolina we go. Mike, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Michael.
Hey, George. It's a blessing even to be able to talk to you twice in one night. I'm 47 years old. I was born in 62. I've been through 8 major car wrecks in my life.
8?
1-8.
Oh, my God.
The last one I was on 9/11/08. So what a way to remember 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
But the wrecks that I've been in, 90% of them are not my fault. But due to people out there that seem like they don't have no hope or they don't have no faith. Well, from the last caller, the girl said St. Michael. Well, that is my middle name, Michael. And Michael the Archangel seems to be one of the most powerfulest archangels out there. And there was a brilliant blue light a split second before impact. There was a girl making an illegal U-turn on a two-lane road, but there was 5 vehicles in front of me, and I couldn't see what was going on. They were all sliding off the side of the road. I thought there was a dog or something laying in the road. I glanced off the road just for a split second, and I'm not the one. I'm a very defensive driver. Glanced off the side of the road to the left just to see if I could get around that way, which I couldn't get around. Look up, here's a full-size SUV making a turn, and I clip him at 55.
And there's no way you can get out of it.
There's no way. I turned the truck as hard as I could. Surprised it didn't flip. But split second before impact, there's this brilliant, a million times brighter than a blue light you'd see on a cop car or whatever. Shot straight down in front of me. Matter of fact, it literally, I asked the people, every wreck that I've been in, I've been able to walk away without a broken bone.
They're watching you, Mike. I don't know why,
I know,
but
they're
watching
me. I sent you an email about something from the last show.
Yeah.
But you are a blessing. And
well,
anybody,
Mike,
that hears you out there and hears your voice, my aunt, she's almost 90 years old. She told me about you or about Coast to Coast 20 years ago. So there's people out there that think so highly of Coast to Coast and the people that put their time and effort into your broadcasting and the people out there around the world that listen to you. You're the only one that really tells the truth. The rest of them want to tell lies.
Well,
but you are such a blessing. And see, also, too, I have mercury poisoning. I was diagnosed 7 years ago as having 2,300 diseases, incurable.
And you're still going, Mike. And we got to get going for just a moment, but we'll be right back.